I have the pleasure of reading the Bible for us today. As Tim said, it comes from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "We have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize from where it had come, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thanks for having me come this weekend. It's great to be with you all at Southern Cross in Lismore. It's good to be here. I was thinking about food for thought this week, and a lot has been going through my mind. I just heard from someone that last night there was a rodeo in Casino because it's been beef week. Man, a town to celebrate beef, that's awesome. And so I heard about that this week, and then I also heard on Friday on social media is International Burger Day. Did you guys know that? That there's an actual Burger Day? Yeah, it's amazing. So, you know, I was thinking about food all week, and food for thought, that's, you know, food. And I was thinking about food, and I was thinking about a trip I had to the US a few years ago when I was a bit younger, probably about 5-6 years ago. I was under 30 still. And in the US, what do? You eat fast food. I eat a lot of burgers. There's good burger joints on every corner in the US. Now, I was there for 3 weeks, and, you know, being under 30, I could handle a fast food diet back then. But there was one night towards the end of the trip, I was in New York, and I was with my relatives, and they asked me what I wanted to eat. And I said to them, I really like cheeseburgers. You know, just a really simple, plain American cheeseburger, you know, like a soft bun and a patty and that plastic cheese, you know, the fake cheese that's really yummy, and a couple of pickles. It's something from Macca's, just something dirty. You know, I like that. That satisfies me. It makes me a happy man. Just something real simple like that. So we got takeout that night. Oh, that reminds me. I also said to them, I haven't had the New York sliced pizza. You know those giant pizzas? You know those novelty giant pizzas that just look so good that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles used to always eat? You know, just like, oh, I want to try one of those. And so we got takeout that night. They brought it back, and they knew that I like cheeseburgers. So we went to this chain called Five Guys. Have you guys ever heard of Five Guys? A huge chain in America. And at Five Guys, you can get single patty, double patty, triple patty with cheese all between, and it's just this filthy burger. Anyways, they got that. They got buffalo wings. They got pizza. It was great. It was glorious. I loved it. It was greasy. Felt gluttonous and felt guilty, really guilty that night. As the night ended, I went back to our apartment, our Airbnb, and I sat in front of the TV. And all of a sudden, my body started heating up and my stomach started getting really sore. And I crawled to the toilet and I started vomiting my guts out. It was disgusting. It was gross. It was actually coming out both ends as well. And I know that's too much information, but I was writhing in pain. And when it was over, I crawled back to the couch and I turned the TV back on just to chill, just to relax. And then my whole body broke out in hives, like an allergic reaction. My body was not accepting the junk that I'd put into it. I was miserable. And I almost didn't want to eat another cheeseburger, almost, you know, for the rest of the trip. I'm pretty sure 2 days later I did, but, you know, I'm telling you this story because we've all had holidays like that, haven't we? Where 1 minute, you know, we're enjoying the food, the life, our time together, our holidays, and next minute you're vomiting your guts out. Maybe not literally for you, but you know what I mean, right? Like your holidays get cut short. Disaster happens. Someone gets sick. It made me realize something about our humanity, something about our desires. We in life, aren't we, are always on a pursuit for happiness. But more than happiness, we're searching for something deeper, a deeper joy that lasts, a joy that can be anchored even in the highs and lows of life. We all want it. I wanted it in fast food, thinking that I could eat cheeseburgers every day for 3 weeks. Is lasting joy possible to attain? Where are you searching for it? Who or what is it for you? Perhaps it's your ambitions, a loved one, our accomplishments. What glorious thing or person has the power to give you a sense of joy, or perhaps sends you crashing down when you lose it? We all have something, don't we? We all want to experience a joy that lasts, but we're hit by a reality which tells us it doesn't. We chase after it, but more often than not, it's just as quickly taken away and replaced with grief and misery and disappointment. It only ever is a taste, isn't it? A shadow, a momentary passing that never lasts and will ultimately end. But what if those moments, those experiences, those desires are to point us to something even greater? What if the taste of joy and glory are meant to lead us to the God who is himself greatness and joy? What was read for us in John's Gospel, in this passage, was the first report of Jesus doing a miracle, and it was at a wedding party. How cool is that? The first thing we should notice, though, is Jesus is so extravagant, isn't he? He's so extravagant in the way he provides. We're told in this Bible reading that Jesus is at this wedding, and weddings, if you know about the ancient Middle East, during those times, weddings were lavish and they were extravagant. There would be parties that would last up to 5, 6, 7 days. It'd be a huge deal in these small communities, these small villages. Everyone would generally know about it. They'd know about this special event. And a celebration like this, it calls for wine, doesn't it? Just like today, we'd celebrate with wine, wouldn't we? And so Jesus is at this wedding, and while the wine is meant to last for multiple days on end, we're told it's already run out. This would be hugely embarrassing for the bride and groom, the host of the party. I mean, most of us today, if we were going to write a review for this wedding, man, 2, maybe 1 star out of 5, wedding was good, food was great, but ran out of wine early, so I went home. If you're throwing a party, generally, you want to have enough for a big feast, don't you? Enough drinks to go around. I'm actually reminded of my own wedding feast when I got married. I am Australian born, but yes, I am Chinese, if you haven't noticed. That's my ethnicity. And I grew up in going to a lot of Chinese weddings because all my relatives, when they got married, would go to their weddings and be at a Chinese restaurant and it'd be a big Chinese wedding banquet. Who's here? Have you guys ever been to a Chinese restaurant wedding banquet, Chinese banquet? Yeah, so you'll know it's, not many of you have, you'll know if you ever do go that it's just, it's like a huge feast. There are 10 courses minimum, right? So you can rock up as the couple, you go there and you prepare and you talk to them, what do you want for dinner? And they'll give you a few options, option A, option B, option C, and the prices go up as it gets more expensive. But at least 10 courses. Let me give you a preview of what that looks like. The first one is soup. You start off with soup, and then you have appetizers like cold meat and jellyfish. Jellyfish is really yummy. You know, Asians will eat anything. But then there's roast pork, and then there's crispy skin chicken, and then there's steamed fish, and then there's crab or lobster, then there's vegetables, and there's fried noodles, and you finish with fried rice, and then something sweet to finish, right? You finish with carbs, essentially. Just fill yourself up with carbs at the end. But you would have loved it if you were at my wedding, because that's what we had, 10 courses. It was amazing. And the thing about these Chinese banquets is it's extravagant and it's lavish and there's always food left over and they want you to have food left over so you can take it home and eat it the next day. It's a cultural thing to talk about how when you're married, you want it to keep lasting on and on and on, right? And that's the same thing with food. You want it to keep lasting on and on and on. But if you didn't have enough food, if you rocked up to a Chinese banquet, if you rocked up to my wedding and I didn't have enough food for you, I'd feel ashamed. I'd feel really embarrassed. It's the same way if you ran out of drinks at a wedding, your host, you know, the host, they would be embarrassed. Imagine that, running out of grog early. Now, Jesus' mom is there, Mary. She's there. She's been at the bar all night, I'm guessing. That's why she realizes no more wine. And like any good mom, she doesn't want this couple to feel humiliated, embarrassed. She calls Jesus over. Jesus, do something. We need more wine. Now he gets the servants of the wedding to come, grab some jars and fill them with water. And what happens? We hear the water turns into wine. He doesn't need to touch it. He doesn't mix in any potions or waves his wand and Expelliarmus or whatever. That doesn't mean changing water into wine. But, you know, he doesn't say any spell to change the water into wine. They just fill up these six jars and he tells them to fill them up with water. That's it. No magic tricks. Now, these jars, they fit up to like 600 liters of water. That's 600 liters of wine. It's extravagant, isn't it? But that's what Jesus does. Jesus knows how to party, doesn't he? He wants the guests of this wedding to experience joy and laughter and good times all around. Now, I don't think this is here to tell us that he promotes alcoholism either. You know, don't get that idea. But he wants them to have fun. He wants the party to keep going. And he's going to be the one who's going to supply the goods. And this is so like Jesus. If you know about Jesus in the Bible, if you read about his other miracles in the Bible, he's really extravagant in the way he does things. He doesn't do the bare minimum. He really flexes his power through signs and wonders. You might know that other story where he feeds the 5,000. He starts off with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he feeds 5,000 people, and then there's leftover as well. He's so extravagant in the way that he provides. And each of these miraculous signs, they point us to the extraordinary nature of Jesus and who he is, his greatness, his power, and what abundance looks like. And so he turns this water into wine, and the head waiter of the banquet, the one who's coordinating the wedding, he has a sip of this wine and he can't believe it. Now, I'm not cultured enough to know much about wine. Who here doesn't like drinking wine? All right, so there's a fair few of you guys, right? That's me too. I'm in the same boat as you. So I went on to Google and asked the question, what do people think about wine when they drink it? What's some words to describe it? And this is what I discovered. You have to say things like, oh, it's really rich, it's really robust, refined. You know, and you say those words and you just nod and smile, pretending you know what you're talking about. But that's what I imagine, that's what I would do. If you don't waste your wine on me, your good wine on me, give me the cheap stuff, because I won't know the difference anyways. And so that's what the head waiter is doing. He's drinking this wine. It's exquisite. It's top shelf stuff. And he's surprised. Why? If you're going to drink the good stuff, the best stuff, wouldn't you drink it first? When you have a more sensitive, cleansed palate, you can taste it, you can enjoy it. Leave the cheap goon till the end. But here it is. The better wine is here. Jesus wants them to get to know something. The better is going to come in Jesus. The better is going to come in him. He provides the wine at this party because he wants everyone to know, to know what joy looks like, to have fun and laugh and dance and know what joy tastes like. And what we can learn in this miracle is that it's a sign pointing us to what is to come, a foretaste, really, of the future, what heaven's going to look like with Jesus. It's going to be like joy, a big feast. The water into wine, it's a sign of celebration and joy. And so we've seen what Jesus does. Let me ask you then, do we actually recognize Jesus for who he is? Isn't it so easy, as I said earlier, to form an idea of Jesus in our mind and misrepresent him from what we hear about in the media or what we watch in the movies? Jesus, he's all about the rules and the regulations. Jesus is a killjoy. You know, Jesus, somehow along the way, society has made Jesus anti-fun and anti-joy. Man, I don't want to miss out on fun and happiness. If I follow Jesus, that's what's going to happen, isn't it? But what if it's precisely the opposite? What if we're missing out on real joy when we don't come to Jesus? What if Jesus is in fact the source of all joy, the one who designed joy and gives us joy? Think for a moment with me. Don't we all want depth and meaning and purpose and joy in life? But don't we have to admit as well today that there's something missing in our society? We're the most connected we've ever been in history. We can follow friends around the world on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. We can talk to anyone all the time through instant messaging. It's instant. You're not writing snail mail anymore. We can swipe right and find a date if we're lonely. We can push a few buttons, order food to be delivered to our front door. We can, you know, scroll and find endless music at our fingertips. We can get this instant gratification, instant joy through our mobile phones. You know, that shot of endorphins when we're feeling bored or stressed. Yet at the same time, our generation overall is marked by high and rising rates of loneliness, anxiety, and depression. The research is out. Why? Why is it that? We should be the most joyful generation in all of history, shouldn't we? Because of science and technology and progress, what that has accomplished for us. But most people are, there's a lot of people at least, that are lonely, anxious, and depressed still. There's something that isn't connecting there, is it? Maybe, just maybe, we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. You see, we go through life and we find joy in what we've achieved, the rewards, the successes, the relationships. We've hustled, we've worked hard. But why is it that we keep hearing from the most successful people in the world that money doesn't buy us happiness? That fame and fortune isn't the answer? And what if we started seeing that all these longings and desires of our hearts were to point us to something deeper? What if the temporary highs and joys in life are to point us to something far richer? See, the wine was a taste of something better to come. It was a clue for the people, wasn't it, at this wedding feast, to see who Jesus was. Like Tim said earlier, I do watch a lot of Netflix, I watch a lot of documentaries, but I like to watch a lot of movies as well. Some of you guys know that I started a podcast about movies because that's how many movies I watch. I always like talking about movies. There's one of my favorite zombie movies, if you guys are into that zombie genre, World War Z. I don't know if you've watched it. Brad Pitt. I just enjoyed it. It's a lot of good jump scares, and it's just an interesting storyline. Humans have been infected with this disease, and people turn into like the Walking Dead, like zombies, essentially. Right? And there's this moment in this movie where they're looking for a cure for this disease. And a scientist in the movie, there's a good line from the scientist. He says this. He says, "Mother Nature did this. Mother Nature wants to get caught. Look at all the clues. Look at all the breadcrumbs that she leaves." What if all the joys I have in this life, the good things I receive, the good wine, the good relationships, the good job, the good family, the good holidays, the good gifts in life that bring me joy, all that good stuff, what if they're breadcrumbs that are meant to lead me to God? What if they're the gifts in life that are meant to lead me to the giver of those gifts? What if they're there to point me to Jesus, the one who supplies the better wine to come? We need to actually see Jesus for how the Bible presents him. Not some version of him we've conjured up in our minds, but the God who is the giver of good gifts, the giver and source of joy. And that's what we see at this wedding, isn't it? Our image of Jesus can't be represented by what our society thinks of him. We have to come to the Jesus in the Bible and learn about him. And what do we learn? If we're in the presence of Jesus, you should expect joy and delight. So Jesus turns water into wine. He keeps the party going. That's what he's done. And we're starting to recognize now who Jesus is. He's the giver of good gifts and the source of joy. So the question now for us is this: how will we respond to this giver? Will I go to him for this deep-rooted, lasting joy that I've been searching for in my life? See, the reading today in the Bible, it finished at verse 11. It says this: what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. First sign of his greatness. How much more should we expect from him then? This is just the first sign of his greatness. The truth is, what happened later to Jesus was he died on a Roman cross. He was raised from the dead to show his glory and greatness even more. He defeated death. And death itself, we all know this, don't we? What does death do? It robs us of joy, doesn't it? Yet Jesus defeats death in his resurrection. He had to do that to secure for us the greatest gift and joy of all, eternal life in God's presence. Death won't have the last word. Our joy won't be robbed from us. You know, we got to see the things in this life, they're temporary, they're fleeting. Here one moment, gone the next. And Jesus, though, he paves the path for us, doesn't he? Paves the path for us so that we can enter into God's presence and his joy forever. Will we recognize that? Will we recognize that and come to Jesus in faith with hope and trust? Everything is passing. I'm getting older. I talk to my mates who are in our mid-30s, and I often hear from them. They say, "Well, you know, it's hard being in our mid-30s. My 20s, man, they were the best years. I play soccer these days and I get injured so easy and it takes longer to recover and can't do late night benders and meeting new people is hard. They have to accept it. Getting older is part of life. And it's why we have midlife crises and we go out and buy a new car, a new Harley, or a new boat, jet skis for some people as well. You see, the older we get, the more we have to realize that the joys in this life also pass with time. What if there was a future joy? A future joy that I could anchor myself in. You see, if there was, then I wouldn't be so miserable with what was and what isn't anymore. Because I can see Jesus. You see, when I see Jesus and the invitation he gives me, the more I discover him in the Bible, the more I see deep, lasting security and freedom and peace. And I do myself a disservice when I turn away from Jesus, because when I do, I turn away from the joy that my heart so desperately wants. And I resort to the cheap goon, don't I? Hoping he'll satisfy. I need to go to the giver. I need to go to Jesus, the giver and source of joy itself. And for me, that's to actually have that relationship with him. And to have that, it's going to start with admitting something, accepting a truth about ourselves, that we aren't right before God. That we have turned away from him. We've rejected him. And the only way to have that relationship with joy is to see that Jesus died on the cross for our behalf. It's to see that his death and his resurrection is the only way to enter into God's presence and receive the forgiveness we all need. When we do that, we Christians, we call it worship, don't we? It's giving respect to Jesus, the respect that he's worthy of. I think about it in my own marriage and how it would work. You see, I love my wife Heidi, which is good because I'm her husband, I should love her. Before I married her, I told her I loved her and I got down on one knee and I proposed with a diamond ring. And imagine this, if she took that diamond ring and she said, wow, diamond ring, I'm so thankful for you. Yeah, you, my precious. Imagine that. Imagine if she was so fixated on this diamond that she walked away from me and forgot about the one who gave it to her. It sounds absurd, doesn't it? Imagine if she was anchoring her joy in the gift and not the giver. It sounds crazy, but isn't that what we do to Jesus? We take all the gifts that he gives us and we forget about him. Will we acknowledge him and give him the actual respect and worship that he deserves? It always amazes me that this retelling of Jesus' life, it begins with this miracle, this sign, because it sets the scene for what Jesus is going to bring. Yes, sure, he knows how to party. He brings the drinks. That's great. But even better, he's going to be the host of a greater wedding feast to come. He's saying, you can have joy now, today, at this wedding feast. Like you can have joy in your relationships, in watching Netflix, in the entertainment, the holidays. But I also want you to see there's a greater joy that's to come with me for eternity. And so, friends, let's take this as food for thought. The wedding itself, it's a picture for us, isn't it? It starts off as a failed wedding. The wine runs out. But it points us to the greater story of the gospel. Joy in this life is short-lived. The greasy cheeseburgers, yeah, they're delicious. They bring me so much joy and happiness. But if you eat them every day, you will get sick. And like life, we're going to experience failures. We're going to see brokenness. We're going to find disappointment, sadness, and sorrow, just like when the wine runs out. But see how through this life, it'll open the way to the greater joy in a relationship with Jesus that we can look forward to. A heavenly reality where there won't be any more sickness, any more brokenness, any more pain, but we'll be in the presence of joy himself and the better wine will be overflowing. It'll be an even grander wedding banquet that goes on into eternity. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, Lord, that he paves the way to you, that he shows us what greatness and glory looks like, but he shows us where joy is to be had, Lord. It's in you, ultimately, the source of joy. We do pray, Lord, as we look around in our lives and all the things that we cling to, for that we anchor to for our happiness and for our deep-rooted joy, Lord, that we'll see that the reality of that, that it is fading, that it is temporary, that it doesn't last. But I do pray, Lord, that you'll help us to see and turn to you, that we can come to you in that humble surrender, knowing that we don't deserve your love, we don't deserve the joy that you offer us, but you give it to us freely and you invite us in into a relationship with you. Help us to accept that and help us to turn away from our lives and turn to you in a relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.